Has law and order broken down to such a degree that the public are now increasingly relying on so-called private police firms? The Daily Telegraph reports that a suspected burglar was taken to court by a private security firm called TMI, founded by a former Scotland Yard chief inspector. This is amid growing concerns that police don't care about so-called low-level crime. I want to know what you think about this. Give me a call on 0344 499 1000 or send us a text, write talk in your message and send it to 87222. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by former Met Police Detective Peter Blexley. Thanks for coming in, Peter.
My pleasure.
What's your view on this? I mean, to sort of elaborate on what happened, a guy was caught nicking stuff in Marks and Spencer's. Marks and Spencer's had hired private guards, security guards. They took the case to the police. They had plenty of evidence, so they caught him red-handed. The police declined to prosecute, so the private police company said, damn it, we'll prosecute. So they took him to court and successfully prosecuted. What are the police playing at here?
Well, their action do not match the words of their senior police, who have told us recently, of course, that they're going to investigate every crime. Well, that, quite frankly, was a promise that just can't be kept because they claim they're too busy, they don't have enough officers. And there are time and time again repeated instances of people going to the police and getting no service whatsoever. This company, TMI, they also have a sister company called My Local Bobby. And I need to make it crystal clear, I have no connection with them whatsoever. I know the founder, David McKelvey, but
he's
I
a
have former detective chief inspector.
Okay.
And he was a vocational cop and he was a very good detective. Mm-hmm. Very good. And he set up these companies. And basically, they're doing the police's work in many, many places. They work in conjunction with what are called BIDs, B-I-Ds, Business Improvement Districts, mm-hmm. a lot of them. And they employ not only their uniformed officers that patrol and detain shoplifters, but also their plainclothes detectives who go out there undercover and arrest shoplifter after shoplifter and also detain people for some other pretty serious crimes.
And what I, you know, TMI, I mean, we have to compliment them, really, don't we? Because they didn't need to do this. I mean, that cost them money to do this, to bring this private execution. They could have just done their job, said to Marks and Spencer, right, we got this, here's the guy, bam, bam. And when the police said, well, we're not getting involved, they could have just dropped the whole thing and moved on, carried on, you know, earning their money from Marks and Sparks. So it's quite a kind of a sort of public service they've done here, isn't it?
They're incredibly effective. Wherever they are employed, crime reduces dramatically, particularly retail crime. And all they're doing is old-school police work that we used to do in the 70s, the 80s and the 90s. They go out there, they arrest shoplifters, and if need be, they prosecute them. They have conducted hundreds of private prosecutions. They have their own prosecution team. They're very experienced in putting cases together, getting them to court and getting people convicted.
As I say, they don't have to do that, so all credit to them. To go back to your original point about police chiefs never doing anything that they say they're going to do, I mean, time and time again, we've heard various Home Secretaries, particularly Suella Braverman, saying to the police, look, no more of this, we're not going to investigate shoplifting, we're not going to bother with burglaries, we're not going to bother with cars being stolen. She said, no more of this. Start investigating every case. And all the police chiefs goes, yes, yes, we will, we will. And they just don't.
Yeah, I'm not seeing evidence of it. In fact, you know, I speak to a lot of people. I'm a chatty kind of fella.
And I've noticed.
and every week I am hearing tales of people who have not had an investigation of their crime, or they've been a victim of crime, and because they know they're not going to get an investigation, they simply don't report it. There are so many unreported crimes out there now that we just cannot trust the crime statistics that the police or politicians will trump it and say there's a reduction in crime. No, there isn't. Police just don't trust the police to give them an effective, prompt, professional investigation, so they don't bother reporting the crimes.
Yeah, I mean, come back to a sort of a cliched point, really, but about getting some bobbies on the beat. I mean, if they were walking up and down the high street, that would deter shoplifters at least a little bit. We need deterrence against shoplifting because it's become a national scourge. And then you learn that one in every four, a quarter of all coppers, 25%, never, ever leave the police station.
Yeah.
They've been reduced to the level, or they are now at the level of just basically being office clerks. Why don't police chiefs see the lunacy, the absurdity of this and say, get out from behind your desk and get out on the beat? Why don't they do that?
Many officers don't like the rough and tumble of the front line, so they get themselves a cosy desk to drive instead of a police car, let alone walk the beat, heaven forbid. They've told us that they're going to bring back neighbourhood policing. I'm not seeing a huge upturn in that yet, although I did meet my local neighbourhood policing team a couple of weeks ago at a meeting, and the people seemed fairly committed and they were pleasant enough, but they didn't stop my neighbour's car getting stolen a couple of nights ago. You know, crime is abundant, unfortunately. There are too many police officers doing roles in police buildings or stations that could be filled by civilian employees, by police staff, rather than police officers. But there needs to be a collective will now. I don't detect that many police officers absolutely hate crime like we did when I was a young cop. We took it as a real affront to our ability to police our manor if crime was committed on it.
Yeah.
And we were
took it personally.
We really did. And the neighbourhood cops, the home beat officers, when they came in the morning and looked at the crime report book, if there was a burglary on their manor, they were livid. They took such pride in trying to keep crime down and being effective. And I don't see that collective will. And also, I'm afraid, there is a younger generation now who have become so used to having their phones stolen, their bikes stolen, or their parents' houses burgled, or their parents' cars nicked off the drive, that they've become desensitized to crime. They almost accept it as a part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. And of course, I am hugely irritated by crime whenever it happens, wherever it happens.
Mm. And there was a survey recently of all police officers, and what is it you like best about being a copper? And what came in as number one on the list was helping people. Now, I reckon, because what you just explained, I would like to say, where did those days go? Where did those coppers who hated crime go? I would suggest if they had a similar survey during your days, number one would be that what you like most about being a police officer was catching the bad guys.
The greatest thing about policing in my time, and I accept it was some time ago, but I've got many, many contemporary police sources that tell me tales of woe. The greatest thing about having a warrant card in your back pocket, about being a cop, was being able to utter those two immortal words. You're Nick.
Yeah, but, you know, as I say, to come back to what I just said, what happened to those days? What happened to coppers like you? What happened to the culture of policing when you're a copper? I mean, I know you're not a spring chicken, but it's not that long ago. It seems to have completely disappeared now.
Yes, and I think there's a breakdown between management and the front line. I don't think the front line feel as supported as we were back in our day. I think there's a lot of police officers who are fiercely ambitious to climb that greasy pole of promotion. So they will throw an officer under the bus at any opportunity they can, because it will look good at their next interview selection panel and that kind of thing. So I think there's been a breakdown. I don't think policing is as much of a family, of a team, of a collective that it used to be back in the day. And consequently, officers are disheartened.
I'll tell you an incident that I think contributes to, what shall we say, the ineffectiveness of policing today. Only recently, the armed police officer who was put on a murder charge for shooting someone in the line of his duty. And of course, you know, so a lot of coppers will think, well, hang on a second. If I go the extra mile and try and catch the bad guy, if I try and do my duty and protect the public, what happens to me? I get charged with murder. That's not going to encourage people, coppers, to go the extra mile in the line of their duty, is it?
we will wait and see what happens with that trial, of course. That officer is awaiting trial as we speak. What I will say is that officers have stood trial for murder and attempted murder when they fired their guns in the past. There was a case in Earl's Court when a man called Stephen Waldorf was shot. He survived. Officers were charged with attempted murder. They were acquitted. There was an officer called Dougie Lovelock who shot Cherry Gross dead. He was charged with murder. He was acquitted. Another officer in more recent times, Tony Long, was charged with shooting dead Azelle Rodney. He stood trial for murder. He was acquitted.
Yeah, well, I just think that officers who you know, unleash their weapons in the course of their duty should be protected from this. I mean, you're right. You know, often in these cases, you get the right verdict; they're acquitted. But why should they have to go through this? I mean, what if you were an armed officer?
And I was.
Well, okay, so I'm talking to exactly the right guy, and you're in that split second situation. A lot of officers say, well, if I pull this trigger, I'm going to end up in court. So I know what I'll do. I won't pull it.
They won't have time to consider that. You have to make split second decisions often. You know, literally in the blink of an eye, do you squeeze that trigger or don't you? Armed officers, like all police officers, need to be held to account, of course.
I get that.
But any such investigation into the firing of a gun by a cop needs to be prompt. They drag on forever and a day. Mm. The Independent Office of Police Conduct will launch an investigation sometimes when there's very little kind of information to justify that. Mm-hmm. That's what the officers are also aggrieved about. The length of time these investigations take, they're very aggrieved about that, and the disruption it can have on an officer's life. Sometimes there is a case pending where an officer shot a man dead. There was no evidence to charge him, but years and years later, there is still the prospect of a discipline hearing. And it is now 7 or 8 years after that officer pulled the trigger. Those kind of things are manifestly unacceptable and need to be speeded up dramatically.
Yeah, yeah. Armed officers need some protection. Now, to prove that I can change my opinions on a sixpence, let's talk about this kid, a 14-year-old kid in Birmingham, I mean, which this seems kind of wrong to me. He's only a 14-year-old kid. Cops were called to his home where there was some sort of family dispute going on. They feared a violent attack, and they ended up tasering this little teenager. They should be a little bit more careful with a taser, shouldn't they, than sort of electrocuting, shoving 50,000 volts through the body of a young teenager?
I've watched a video of it. It was only about a minute long. What it doesn't do is tell the story of the events leading up to that officer discharging their taser. Mm-hmm. So that we haven't seen, that we don't know. The police officers were wearing body-worn videos, of course, so they will tell the story of the background towards that officer discharging the taser. Mm-hmm. I will wait to see what the events were before he pulled that trigger, before I leap to some kind of judgment over it. Mm-hmm. But there was a bit of a ridiculous debate that I took part in yesterday about should police officers taser children, a very broad kind of...
I guess that's what I'm saying.
...title for it, yeah. But we have a tide of teenage blood flowing through the streets of our nation, particularly in London, where teenagers are killing teenagers. Mm. When you are in a situation where you might be confronted by a very violent young person, somebody armed with a weapon that could be fatal, you are not going to ask them to pull out their birth certificate to check their age before you discharge your taser. You don't have the luxury of that kind of time on your hands. So tasers are important. Over 110 police officers are assaulted every single day of the week. They need to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, and of course, 14-year-olds can be very big. I don't know the details of this, so we haven't got that video, but it'll probably revolve around just how big this kid is. Interesting stuff, though, Peter. Thank you very much, Peter Blexley there. Now, lots of you have been getting in touch. You can have your say on all the socials, at Talk TV and on the phones, 0344 499 1000. Let's hear now from a caller, David in Wakefield, who wants to talk about the police. So stick around, Peter. Hello, David. What would you like to say?
Yeah, all right, Kev. Hello, Peter. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about actually what's happened with this police in the last few years. I'm not young anymore. I'm in my 60s, and I've been a motorcyclist. Our roads at the moment are absolutely lawless where we live, and I mean lawless. We've got cars driving around without number plates. We've got motorcycles with people with balaclavas on going in and robbing people, robbing shops. I don't know about having separate security to do your shops with shoplifting, the ones that we've seen on TV where there's gangs going in. Are these private security going to be armed? Are they going to be armed private security? Are we going to see one of them maybe get killed? You know what you've just said about weapons and the lawlessness in this country. What has happened, Peter, to our police that we used to respect? I used to get pulled up on my motorbike for no L plates. I used to get pulled up for carrying a passenger. And we used to get fined and taken to court. What's happened to it all? What's gone wrong?
What do you think, Peter?
Well, first of all, I must say, Dave, I'm in my 60s as well, and we are mere puppies, OK? Yes, what has happened to our policing? Well, in the last 20 years or so, so many senior police officers have trotted off to university, got themselves degrees, so they have letters after their name as well as in front of their name, and they've come back to policing with essentially their heads full of pseudo-intellectual claptrap and degrees in basket weaving and business management.
Community relations, that's what counts, Peter.
Things that are not relevant or applicable to policing, in my opinion. And there has been a slide, an inexorable slide towards where we are in policing. And I just found myself nodding along with everything that Dave said. Where are the traffic police anymore? They've been slashed. Where are the police officers on the streets as a deterrent patrolling?
Yeah, as I just said, absolutely, absolutely. Dave, thanks for the call. Let's hear now from a caller, Steve, in France, who also wants to talk about the police. So we've still got Peter Blexley here. Thank God for that. What would you like to say, Steve?
Oh, yes, police again. Basically, I was a councillor in Torbay between the 80s and early 90s. And I had two very large council estates in our ward, which were, obviously there were problems there, but there were obviously some very nice people, law-abiding people. And the local Bobby, who actually did the beat, you saw him on the beat in those days, I invited him along to the community meetings. Initially, everybody was a bit, oh, wow, PC so-and-so's here. But they got to know him after a while, and we had two-way conversations. He learned about all their problems that they didn't bring up to the police because they didn't want to talk about the neighbours too much. And it was a two-way thing, and it made the community more aware, and also the policemen knew what was going on. And we'd lost all that.
Yeah, that's community relations. Coppers talking to people in a local community, being a part of that community, not dancing the bloody Macarena, right?
Neighbourhood policing, brilliantly summed up in one call to Talk TV. Absolutely spot on. That's what neighbourhood policing should be all about. And when those police officers, the uniform ones, who are kind of well-known and contactable, and all those sort of things, when they get information, what they would do is come back to the police stations and tell the young detectives what that information was. And it would be us who smashed the doors in and arrested people and seized the stolen goods and slapped the handcuffs on, leaving the community police officer to still be that community Bobby.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, is it? If you can see the police, then you'll know that they are in the neighbourhood, and you better be careful what you get up to. What these kids, or all of these lawbreakers now that Steve's talking about, they never see the police. They know that everyone who goes shoplifting never gets arrested. You break into a house, you've got no chance of getting arrested. Nick a car, that's just fine. If there's no sense that the police are around, law and order will break down. That's what we're seeing all over the country, isn't it?
Yeah. And back in my day, we made the streets a hostile environment for criminals. That's what they had to be. And there was that concern for criminals that as they legged it round the corner, having burgled, stolen, done whatever it was they do, they might bump into a police officer.
Yes.
That doesn't exist these days. Yeah. It's gone, sadly.
I can remember, this, I wouldn't encourage coppers to do this, but when I was a kid, I can remember the local copper in the village that we lived clipping me round the ear when he caught me scrumping apples.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went back, the copper clipped me around the ear, he said, serves you right.
Yeah.
You know.
An officer that you knew, you could contact, you knew where they were, there was a local station, so much of that just disappeared.
Absolutely. A relationship with the local community, which isn't established by dancing the Macarena and wearing rainbow colours.